Well, it's great to have you back again this week. Today we're going to be looking at another name of God, although not quite a name, but something that describes him, as we think about the Lord who makes you holy. We're thinking about this name, but before we start, we're going to pray and ask for his help as we look at his word together. So Father, we pray for your help as we look at your word, that you would teach us, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us. Lord, please use your word that was inspired by you to speak to us and to help us. Lord, as we think about you are the God who makes us holy, and we pray for your help by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. The name that we have for today is found in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 12 to 18. And Amy is going to read that for us now.
Our reading today is Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 18. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God."
Well, let me ask you a question. What brings about change in you? Sometimes we need something from outside of ourselves to help us or to change us. We can't do it by ourselves, so we need something external to help us make that change. Maybe you've been trying to get your diet and exercise routines under control, but struggling with the willpower to do it. Then you have a checkup with the GP and you realize your cholesterol is much too high. Then all of a sudden, diet and exercise begin to happen. You need something from outside of yourself to make the change. Or as we emerge from lockdown, we're very aware that we must do certain things and we mustn't do other things to help stop the spread of the virus. But yet we're aware that we really need a vaccine to deal with this permanently and to get rid of it. We need something from outside of us to help us. Or maybe you've been wanting to buy a house. No matter what you save, the bank just won't lend you enough to get you on the ladder. But then a family member or a friend offers a loan or a gift to help get you started. Sometimes we need something from outside of us to change us or to help us. Well, today we're going to be looking at a passage that's all about the Sabbath. And the reason that we're looking at this passage is because of how Yahweh, how the Lord, is described in verse 13. It says, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." I am the Lord who makes you holy. We join this passage at the end of a long section where the Lord is giving instructions to Moses about how to build the tabernacle and all the furnishings that were to go inside. We see that this is the end of Moses' time on the mountain from the last verse, where God is finished speaking to him and gives him these two tablets of the covenant law. And after all the instructions had been given about the tabernacle and the priests, about the altar and the furniture to go inside, God is reminding the people of the importance of the Sabbath rest. The tabernacle was to be the holy space where they would worship God, and the Sabbath was to be the holy time that they were to set aside for God. God is reminding the people the importance of this Sabbath rest. And despite all the regulations they've been given, it is the Lord who makes them holy. Not their own efforts, not their own practices, or following these regulations. It is the Lord who makes them holy. The people needed something from outside themselves to deal with the problem that was within. They needed the Lord who makes them holy. Well, how did the Israelites observe the Sabbath? The setting of this passage comes after all these instructions, including, if you'll see earlier in this chapter, those given to Bezalel and Oholiab, and to all those who'd build these things. But even to them, in their holy and divinely appointed work to build the tabernacle, they were to rest. They were to take the Sabbath and observe it. They weren't to ignore this command. And the Lord was commanding the Israelites very clearly that they were to observe the Lord's Sabbaths. We see that in different verses. Verse 13, you must observe my Sabbaths. We see it in verse 14, observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. And we see it in verse 16, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. This was a reminder to them that the Lord was the one who made them holy. It was a constant reminder of the one they served. So what did their Sabbath observance require? We see this explained concisely in verse 15. It says, for 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. The word Sabbath comes from the word to cease, to stop. So it was to be a weekly pause for the Israelites in the midst of their work and service to Yahweh. They would work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. They'd work for 6 days and then they'd rest on the seventh. And they'd work for 6 days and they'd rest on the seventh. It was the rhythm and the routine in Israelite society. Work, 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 rest. And the rest was a reminder to them about who the Lord is. He is the one who makes them holy. Not the laws that they follow, or the regulations that they observe, or even the days of rest. It is the Lord who makes them holy. And they can't forget that as they rest each week. In the midst of their busy lives, they were to stop every week to remind themselves about the Lord. And it was a sign of a lasting covenant between the Lord and the people, a pattern that was to continue throughout the generations of Israel. And for an agrarian people, people dependent on the land, that mustn't have been an easy command at times to follow. When the land and the animals needed daily tending and work, the people were to stop, to rest, and to remember the Lord. They were expressing their dependence on Yahweh in how they rested week in, week out, and as they trusted ultimately in Him to provide, because they recognized in their resting that crops and animals and rain and sunshine were all under Yahweh's sovereign control. And for Israel, there were blessings and there were curses tied directly to whether they obeyed this command or disobeyed. So what were the consequences for the people? Well, as they obeyed, they experienced blessing and continued favor with Yahweh. They were following in the footsteps of the Creator Himself. Look at verse 17. It says, it will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He abstained from work and rested. Or in another translation it says, and He was refreshed. What a wonderful thought that the Lord who created everything was refreshed. What refreshes you? Is it sleep? Is it a good book? The sea? That usually works well for us. And as they obeyed, the people were reminded about who the Lord was, that he was the one who made them holy. And they experienced this blessing and this refreshment as they obeyed him, resting in his work, rather than their own to provide and to ultimately take control of their own lives. They were trusting in Yahweh, who was in control. So as well as a deep theological principle being in mind, that the Lord was the one who made them holy and that he was in control, he was also deeply concerned for the well-being of his people. The pattern of work and rest was what the people needed to continue to function well within society. They needed a break. They needed to rest so that the people could keep going, week after week, month after month, year after year. The Lord knew his people, and he knew that they needed to rest. So they knew that the Lord was the one who made them holy, but he wanted them to rest so that they could live and serve him well. And this is still true today. God is still concerned for the well-being of his people. His pattern of rest, which was good for the Israelite society, is a principle that still applies for our lives today. God is concerned with the practical outworking of our lives, and rest is important. Rest is a pattern that God established. We saw that in creation. In 6 days, God created, and on the seventh, he rested and he was refreshed. The Sabbath has been achieved in Jesus, but we need to rest from our work and our busy lives too. Time to refresh, recharge, and remember our God, so that we can serve him day after day, week after week, year after year. Not burn out and crash after a few months. We need to build patterns of rest into our lives. Now, this might look very different in everybody's personal circumstances, but can I encourage you, as we just as much want to in our lives, that as we start into a new normal, as we come out of lockdown, let's create the kind of lifestyle that includes rest. This pattern that Yahweh, that the Lord himself laid down. Let's create the kind of lifestyle that would mimic our Creator, remembering that he is the one who makes us holy, and we can rest in his control, in his work over our lives. So as the Israelites, as they rested on the Sabbath, they grew in their knowledge and their dependence on Yahweh, as well as physical and mental rest from the demands of work. But what happened when there was disobedience? Well, this was really serious. Disobedience resulted in death and being cut off from God's people. Look at verse 14, the second part of verse 14. It says, whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. Or the second part of verse 15, whoever does any work on the Sabbath must be put to death. It was incredibly serious to disobey God's command. It meant being cut off from God's people. It meant the death penalty for anyone who would ignore this command. By ignoring this command, the people were essentially saying, we don't need to remember our God. We don't need to trust in him. We can do things our way. We have our lives in our own hands. We don't need to worry about him. They were rejecting the Lord, and they were rejecting the rest that he was offering. So the command to the people of Israel was to keep the Sabbath holy. This holy time to go alongside the holy space where the people rested from work and remembered the Lord who made them holy. So maybe the big question on your lips or in your minds is, what about us? What do we do? How do we observe the Sabbath? Maybe you're thinking, well, we do Sabbaths, but we just do them on a Sunday. Well, we do meet on Sundays. Thankfully, that's starting again. And there is good reason for why we do that. But maybe we could get into why we do that another time. We are delighted and a little nervous to be able to meet physically again. But the gathering that we do on Sundays is different to the way that the Sabbath day worked for the Jewish people. We gather as his people to remember the risen Lord Jesus, and we rest in his work. But isn't this one of the Ten Commandments, you might say? Shouldn't we still do it? Or what if we ignore it? Wouldn't that make it the Nine Commandments? Well, the Sabbath rest that God commanded is much more than just a day off work. It was pointing to something much bigger, something far greater. We see in this passage that the command to rest is rooted in creation. We saw that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. What did he do on the eighth day? Was it back to work? No. The rest that was established on the seventh day kept going. This was the rest after the creation that Adam and Eve could live in and enjoy. We don't read of the morning and the evening of the seventh day because the rest continued. A wonderful, perfectly created world for humanity to enjoy. This rest didn't end. Except it did end. Something did bring that rest to an end. Something cut God's rest short. And that was sin. Human rebellion put an end to the rest that God had established at the beginning. A rebellion much like the attitude we mentioned already. We don't need to remember our God. We don't need to trust his word. We can do things our way. We can take our lives in our own hands. And this destroyed the rest that God had created. Not only was the Sabbath a weekly thing, it was a 7-yearly thing. Every 6 years there was to be a Sabbath rest for the land, for a whole year. And then, every 7 times 7 years, well, that was the year of Jubilee, when all debts were cancelled and lands were returned to those who had lost them. The Promised Land, well, that was the place of rest that God had promised for his people, rest from their enemies. The broken rest in the garden was being restored, but these shadows of rest were just pointing to something greater. They were shadows of what was to come. Speaking about the people of Israel in the wilderness, the writer of Hebrews says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." So what does it mean for us? What is this Sabbath rest that still remains? Well, the broken rest from the garden needed to be restored. And the true Sabbath rest is found in Jesus. Jesus is the one who's reversed the broken rest that happened in the garden. And he has re-established the rest and the blessing and the peace and the life that God intended. Through facing the penalty for sin, through facing that penalty for that attitude of saying, we don't need to remember God. we can take our lives in our own hands. He faced that penalty on the cross in his death. And rising again, he has reversed the broken rest of the garden. And we can enter that rest simply by faith. We can enter that rest simply by faith. And we can only enter this rest as we recognize that it is the Lord who makes us holy. It's not about observing religious laws or ceremonies, or praying, or fasting, or reading, or resting. Only the Lord makes us holy, makes us right with him as we rest in Jesus. He gives us the rest as we come to him. Just before Jesus had a lot to say to the Pharisees, and one of the things that they challenged him on was his views on the Sabbath. And just before Jesus spoke to these furious Pharisees about his own disciples' conduct on the Sabbath, and before he challenged their strict regulations about the Sabbath, he speaks these stunning words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus invites us to come to him and to rest. Put simply, today, we observe the Sabbath by coming to Jesus and resting in him. We trust in the Lord who makes us holy. We need something or someone from outside of us to deal with our sin, to deal with the problem in us, to save us. And it's not our obeying or our law keeping or our good works, but it's the Lord who makes us holy, who makes us right with him. And we recognize that when we trust Jesus and rest in his work for us. Well, like we asked earlier, what are the consequences? In that sense, well, every day is Sabbath rest for us, resting in Jesus. Not a religious rule to be strictly followed every Saturday, because that's when the Sabbath was. And when we enter this rest, we receive eternal life, the blessing of life with God forever. Everlasting peace and joy, blessing now that will extend into eternity. This rest that can never be broken because of Jesus. And we mustn't turn away from this rest and disobey God's call to us to observe this rest. Trust in Jesus. Rest in him. We can still have the same attitude of disobedience today. We don't need to remember God. We don't need to trust in him. We can do things our way, take our lives into our own hands. Well, the consequence for rejecting this rest, the rest that Jesus achieved, is far worse than being cut off from people, or even far worse than death. The consequences are being cut off from God and eternal death, separated from him forever. We must not ignore this rest. And what are the consequences? Finally, having been made holy by the Lord, he then begins in us the process of being made holy. He is the Lord who makes us holy, and he is the Lord who keeps making us holy. The Lord is at work in our lives, shaping and molding us into the image of Jesus. His Spirit is at work in us, bit by bit, because he is the Lord who makes us holy. Not long before lockdown started, Grace and I did a pottery class. where we got to have a go on the potter's wheel. A lump of clay is put right in the middle, and you spin the wheel with a pedal by your foot, and you use your hands to shape the clay. Sometimes you spin slower, sometimes you go faster, sometimes you need to use water, and sometimes take a sponge and take all the water away. But you control the clay until it's shaped into the mugs, in our case, that we wanted to make. Now, we can't claim credit for the final product, but we definitely made the shapes, made the base of the mugs. And that's what the Lord is doing for us. We're in his hands. When we've come to him, when we trust in him, the rest that Jesus gives us, he has made us holy. We have this status before him that we are accepted. But like this clay, we are then in his hands and he's shaping us. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. Sometimes there's good times, or those good times are taken away altogether and it's really hard times. But we're in his hands until one day we will perfectly be like Jesus. Because he is the Lord who makes us holy, and by his Spirit, he is making us holy. So come to Jesus. He's inviting you to come and to rest from all your work, to trust him, trust in his provision on the cross, and trust in his work in your life day by day, that he's in control and that he wants to give you this rest that will stretch into eternity. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us this rest. You offer this rest to us because you are the Lord who makes us holy. You have done something to step into our lives, to make us holy, to make us right, and to deal with that problem of sin. We pray, Lord, for your help to recognize those ways where we have that attitude of wanting to push you aside, to ignore who you are and what you've done. Help us, Father, to rest in what Jesus has done and find such blessing and peace in that. And Father, where there are ways that we can build this pattern of rest into our lives, help us to do that. And help us, Lord, to cooperate with your work that you're doing in us day by day to make us like your Son. We thank you, Lord, so much for your work and that you're the God who makes us holy. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.